Hi, my name is Paul O'Sullivan, and I'm the Media and Advertising Manager for Blarney Castle, and you're listening to The Stodd Show.
Dublin City FM, Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Stodd Show with Peter Donegan.
Welcome. This is The Stodd Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM with Brian Green, Peter Donegan and Katrina Redmond, who is on the blogs at stoddshow.com/news. On today's programme we have Adam and Paul. No, not the film Adam and Paul, but Adam and Paul from Blarney Castle. And we'll be heading down to Blarney. My thoughts on Blarney, well, if you Google Blarney, you'll get blarneycastle.ie, so they're spot on there. They're number one in the Google search. But you think of the stone. Well, the Stodd Show today tells you there's so much more to Blarney Castle than just the stone. Stay tuned for that. We have to say thanks to our sponsors. Greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at greensacks.ie. Check them out in the supermarket where you can drop green sacks into your shopping trolley. Have you tried them yet? Let us know what you think at Stodd Show on Twitter, The Stodd Show on Facebook if you want to get in touch on the Facebook, or email info@stoddshow.com. If you have any items for the show, do get in touch with our producer Peter Donegan via those contact methods, and we shall be having you on The Stodd Show real soon. Now, I did say we're going to Blarney, and it's part of a two-parter, so we'll be there next week as well. But for this week, let's head on over to County Cork, a couple of miles northwest of Cork City. It's Blarney Castle.
103.2 Dublin City FM. I am in the, is it the courtyard?
Yeah, the stable yard.
Of Blarney Castle. Why am I here, Paul?
Well, you're here, you know, because we're, you know, primarily one of the top 10 attractions in the country, and we have absolutely amazing gardens here that you've come down to have a look at.
Paul, for those listening at home, your job title is?
I'm the Media and Advertising Manager.
Okay, and also in my company, the next voice that you're going to hear is Adam Whitbourne, who is the head gardener of or at Blarney Castle. We're going to just get a little bit of history first on the castle. I know most of you are aware of it because of the Blarney Stone, but there is a lot, and believe me, there is a lot more to it than that. You do not want to miss this one. Paul, can you give me a little bit behind the scenes of Blarney Castle?
In terms of the history or the work of the history? Well, the stone was actually an altar stone that was brought over from the Holy Land during the Crusades. And the lord of the castle was asked to send troops to help with the Battle of Bannockburn. And as a thank you, they halved the stone and gave half to him. So he brought it back to the castle, and it's built into the outer battlements at the top. It was put there for safekeeping. So that's why it's in that awkward position, so when you see people kissing the stone. Now, the reason why you kiss it is he had a slight speech impediment, and he was walking around the lake, and there was a woman drowning in the lake, and he saved her from drowning. She was the witch that lived on the grounds, and as a thank you, she told him that if he kissed the stone, it would get rid of his speech impediment. So that's where the gift of eloquence or the gift of good speech came from.
Better known as the gift of the gab.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. To be honest with you, that kind of, that terminology would be more from our American visitors.
Okay, and outside of the stone that I suppose the castle or grounds is best famed for, can you explain to me how big the castle is, or and how big the grounds are maybe a little bit, or how extended, I suppose, is it fair to call it an estate?
Yes, oh, it's definitely an estate. In terms of the castle, you're looking at it's about just over 100 feet tall. The measurements at the top are about 16 metres by 20. In terms of the size of the estate, about 60 acres of gardens here in the estate.
And is it a working grounds? I mean, not so much a working grounds, but is it, do people live on the estate? Does it work as a normal house, or is it just, no, that's just a castle and it's only held for, you might say, the visitors that would come and see here?
Oh, I suppose, look, during the day between our opening hours, we're a tourist attraction. outside of that, yeah, there is private rented properties on the grounds. We have a fully functioning farm on the grounds as well. Obviously, we've a lot of forestry, so there's someone who looks after that as well. So there's, outside of the actual tourist business, there is a lot of other things going on.
Okay, and for those listening at home, you do have a website. Can you give me that address?
Sure, it's www.blarneycastle.ie.
And how many tourist visitors, I should say, come and visit Blarney Castle and Gardens? I double underline the "and gardens" bit, the reason why I am here. Yeah, you better believe it. I've got the gift of the gab, I don't need to kiss the stone for that one. But how many passed through the gates?
Last year there was 365,000. So this year looks like we're on a par, if not a little better, for that.
Okay, and for people living in Ireland, or because we've a lot of listeners abroad, I know that, how much does it cost if I walk straight up to the door here and ask, how you doing, can you buy me a ticket for two adults and, let's say, two children, or one adult and no children?
Okay, well, our prices, it's €12 for an adult, €10 for a senior student, it's €5 for a child. Any children under 8, there is no charge, and a family ticket, which is two adults and two children, is €30.
It's pretty good value, considering that I've done most of the grounds. How long, you were saying to me that when some of the coaches pull up, that they tend to spend 3 hours approximately here. I kind of have been here, maybe now I'm on my kind of second hour. I've done literally a quick whistle tour through the gardens, not the castle, and I double underline that to you listening at home. I will get there, but you know, there's, you know yourself, you know people, you know. I could have stayed here for an entire day. It's a lot more, double underline that, before we even get to the gardens, it's a lot more than just a castle and a stone. No offence to the castle and stone.
Well, look, yeah, you could easily spend all day here, but I suppose, you know, a lot of our visitors don't have the time because, you know, they're on tours or something like that. But, you know, a good recommendation, the 3 hour mark is a good recommendation. You'd get to see quite a lot within that time frame.
Okay, we'll get to Adam on the gardens in just a second. And thank you for your patience, Sideshow listeners. But for those listening at home, can you give them the top 5 things? You've been working here throughout college and the whole lot for about the last 8 years that I can gather. I have a nod of approval on that. That's correct. So you know the grounds, the estate extremely well. Top 5 things you should do when you come to Blarney Castle.
Okay, let's exclude the castle and stone, because that's obviously going to be, you know, the top priority. The rock close is a fabulous area of the grounds, definitely worth checking out. You know, we have a dolmen, you know, we have the Druid Circle, we have a sacrificial altar, a lot of the areas to do with the witch that I mentioned in the story. So that's definitely up there. The Fern Garden is absolutely fabulous. The caves and the dungeons are definitely worth checking out. We have an unbelievable poison garden, which is absolutely fabulous, is worth checking out as well. And something I quite like is the walk around the lake. We have a fabulous lake on the grounds, some fantastic views back up the grounds towards Blarney House, and that's definitely worth it. It's a beautiful setting, so worth checking out as well.
If I was to give you a magic wand or a moment in time and say you can sit in one place for the rest of your days here and become fabled within the grounds or the estate, where would that chair or that seat be?
To be honest with you, the view off the top of the castle. You know, when I first started working here, I was taking the photographs at the top of the castle, and we'd finish, you know, we'd be probably the last people here on the grounds. So, you know, some beautiful sunset views off the top of the castle, you know, if you get the right weather, obviously, that would be the top choice for me. It's fabulous. It's amazing. I mean, you can see for miles around here, clear day.
Okay, Adam Whitbourne, a man who's making me look bad, and there aren't too many gardeners in the country get to do that. He's kind of starting to get my nerves at this stage of the game. He is that good at his job. Adam, not everybody in the country gets to say that they are head of grounds over an estate that looks this pristine, and it absolutely every single inch of it, from the entrance in, down through the inn walkways, to some of the places I never even heard told of before. I know the Poisonous Garden is much famed. We'll get to a little bit of that in a minute, but can you give me a little bit of a background on you and just how you ended up here?
Well, first of all, thanks very much for that glowing recommendation. I tend to see things that other people wouldn't, walking around the gardens, and I'm there looking at things thinking, oh, that needs doing, whereas someone else might not notice it. But thank you anyway. I came into horticulture because I always liked to work outdoors. It was something that always interested me. And really the idea of historic gardens means that things that you're doing will remain. And you're working in an estate in a historic sense and leaving something not just for yourself but planting for the next generation. So, I mean, prior to being here, I had a landscaping company and I'd do large urban gardens, developments, design work. But it would frustrate me sometimes that you'd know that you might build a garden, but in a year or two, it could be gone again. New clients move in, maybe change things, tweak things. I love being here because you're almost leaving a legacy, and that's something that the castle owner also sort of respects and understands, is that you're here and it's a heritage site. And what you're actually leaving behind is being left for future generations. So when we plant, we're not just planting for today, we're planting for tomorrow and maybe 200 years' time.
How long are you in the job that you're in now?
I've been working on the estate for nearly 10 years now, and I've been head gardener for the last 4.5 years.
So, and this is a gardener's horticultural heads kind of a thing that whether I was over grounds in DCU or whether I was working in Scotland or whatever the case may be, that most of you listen to this will identify with the fact that when you walk into a grounds, you're kind of going, oh Jesus, he put that there, oh, for God's sake. Well, or at the time I couldn't say anything, and I'm not saying that you should because you obviously still work here, but was there things that you wanted to change? And I think that's invariably that answer from every gardener will be yes.
There always is. I think any garden you go to, where you're looking from outside the box, let's say, visiting gardens, you see things and you think, I'd do that differently. It doesn't necessarily mean there's a right and a wrong way, but you have your way. And when I kind of, let's say, took over the reins, it was like letting the horse out of the stables, if you like. There's certain jobs that I'd been waiting to do that I really wanted to get my teeth into. And not just myself, but the rest of the gardening team had ideas and things that they might maybe had been restricted within the past, and were able to actually speak up and let me know what they would like to do. So we are very much a team in that sense. And there was big changes in the first couple of years, let's say. We went from being a garden that was really just maintained suddenly to a garden of what's hopefully becoming world-renowned, that's very much developing. And there's been huge developments over the last 5 years. We've added a lot of new areas, such as the poison garden, fern garden, some of the riverbank walks, the bog garden areas. And we've also just tweaked and redeveloped a lot of the existing beds, such as, for example, the azalea beds, which are known locally as the Belgian beds, and replanting where necessary, doing some quite difficult decisions at times, taking out some of the trees in the arboretums, thinning and planting new stock. So it's been a big job the last 5 years, but very, very enjoyable.
Okay, we're going to pause it there for a break. When we come back, we'll have more from Paul and Adam. Brian, I don't know when you have a song that fits in with the Blarney Castle type of things, but can you play me something along those lines? Have you got something in your library, your arsenal there?
Searching the Sod Show archive, or as you call it, arsenal. Nice kind of use of the word arsenal, you Arsenal fan. Yes, we do have something appropriate. How about some German speed folk? Fiddler's Green and a song called Blarney Roses.
Can anybody tell me where the Blarney Roses grow? It might be down in Limerick Town, it might be in Mayo. It's somewhere in the Emerald Island, this I want to know. Can anybody tell me where the Blarney Roses grow? Was over in Old Ireland near the town of Cushendall. One morn I met a damsel there, the fairest of them all. So with me young affections and me money she did go. To be told me she belonged to where the Blarney Roses grow. Can anybody tell me where the Blarney Roses grow? It might be down in Limerick Town, it might be in Mayo. It's somewhere in the Emerald Island, this I want to know. Anybody tell me where the Blarney Roses grow? Her cheeks were like red roses and her hair a raven hue. Before that she had done with me, she had me raven too. She sorely left me stranded, not a coin she left, you know. Did the damsel that belonged to where the Blarney Roses grow? Can anybody tell me where the Blarney Roses grow? It might be down in Limerick Town.
be in Mayo. It's somewhere in the Emerald Island, this I want to know. Can anybody tell me where the blarney roses grow? There's roses in Killarney and there's some in County Clare, but upon me word the roses lies I can't find anywhere. She blinded me for buying the plough, she left me broke, you know. Did the damsel that belonged to where the blarney roses grow? Can anybody tell me where the blarney roses grow? It might be down in Limerick town, it might be in Mayo. It's somewhere in the Emerald Island, this I want to know. Can anybody tell me where the blarney roses grow? A cushla crum, a crow, young man, she murmured soft to me. If you belong to Ireland, it's yourself belongs to me. Her Donegal, come all you broke and catch at me, you know. But look to her and book her the place where the blarney roses grow. Can anybody tell me?
Cushla Gra McCree, young man, she murmured soft to me. Fiddler's Green and Blarney Roses. A band from Germany, all German, I do think. Not an Irish man among them. Speed folk, not my genre of folk, but something I might be kind of closely linked to through folk rock or folk punk. So it's all part of a spectrum. It's the Sod Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. You want to get in touch at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, and info@sodshow.com if you're on email. Let's go back to Blarney and Peter Donegan.
We're back for part two. Thanks for that, Brian. The ambient sounds in the background is obviously some of the 300,000 plus to 360,000 visitors that are on the verge of passing through the gates of Blarney Castle. Paul, what's the feedback been like from the people who have come through the gates? That's essentially they're the paying punter, the paying customer. But I suppose you might say, you know, we touched on it at the start that the Blarney Castle and Gardens was, I suppose, is a bit like the Rose of Tralee, maybe. And I don't want to be too much turlura or disrespectful in any way to the grounds, the estate, or to Adam, but it was very much kind of famed, I suppose, for just the kissing of the stone. It now seems to me, and the joke on the way up here was that Adam was kind of starting to get in my nerves, but he was starting to show me up, and that he's a head gardener over the estate. And I mean this in a very complimentary sense to those listening at home and understand my humour. You knew where I was going with that, but he shouldn't really be stepping over the pulpit. His name shouldn't be out there. And he spoke at Clare Garden Festival before I got to talk at it, which was one upmanship. And I made a hand signal, not with fingers, but it's just a fist signal, grr, kind of bad neighbourly gesture to him. And then I went to Clare Garden Festival again, and he was there this year. He was at Bloom. You had a little bit of a postcard garden there. You also had a stand there as well. But, you know, in short, Adam doing the gigs and getting his name out there and making me look bad aside, the feedback does come from the paying punter through the gates. What's been the response on the gardens?
Look, feedback, you know, we're very, you know, aware of it, you know, different things, you know, like TripAdvisor, we have, you know, common cards at the main entrance as well. You know, even just through Facebook and Twitter and things like that. And, you know, the response to the gardens is fantastic. You know, I think it's, you know, a number of years ago, it would have been a case of, oh, you know, the surprise that this was here. You know, I think when you arrive, you know, people are just expecting just a castle and that's it. But when you walk in, you know, it's a five to 10 minute walk to the base of the castle. So I think it's that surprise that there is all this, you know, gardens and grounds surrounding the castle. And, you know, in fairness, the gardeners have done a huge amount of work, you know, particularly in the last 5 years. And, you know, it's great that, you know, there is a huge number of people coming through and getting to experience these wonderful gardens.
So in short, if you haven't been here in the last 5 years, get back here. You've kind of missed out on a whole new chapter that's been stuck to the back of the castle that you didn't know or prior to maybe didn't exist. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm here 8 years, and you can see year on year, the constant development, the changes being made. And, you know, I think it has come on leaps and bounds in the last 5 years.
Adam, many gardeners look after, or many is in the team that look after the grounds and the estate. And in that, I'll ask you twofold a question. For the horticultural heads or those who are into landscaping or have ever been over any form of estate or grounds, if you want to make changes, one team obviously can't do maintenance. And then the other part is doing the newer or additional. And your ground seems to be, by my reckoning and by what you explained, getting bigger and better, but you also have to maintain the bit that you just made bigger and better that never before previously existed. How do you do that bit? And then number three, I guess, is how do you sleep at night?
There's a lot of juggling involved, believe it or not. There's no day-to-day list of jobs. There's an ongoing list. And the nature of the beast, if you like, the outdoor work and the weather and everything else has to be taken into account. So we have a team of, I suppose, a core team, let's say, at the moment of 10. There's 8 sort of full-time and 2 students. We did have 2 other students from France who've just returned to France, who were a great addition and asset for the summer months. But the good thing is that a lot of the guys that are on the team are able to kind of turn their hand to a lot of different jobs. They specialise in certain areas. For example, we have 2 tree surgeons in-house, and that saves a lot of work. It means that they're there all year round if something happens, but the time when they're not in the trees, they're on the ground doing other gardening duties, groundsman work, even joinery, fence manufacture, putting up benches, you name it, we can turn our hand to it. And so that's where the key is. Having the right team of people means that you can develop and maintain. But the big deal is being able to kind of adjust to the situation and not get overly stressed about it, I think.
I always have this thing in my head where gardens I make, I kind of, you know, some people say to me, you know, I treat it like when I'm picking out the plants, it's like I'm all right, I'm on the verge of insulting myself here, but basically I pick out plants like I'm picking out wedding dresses sometimes, and the gardens that I make, I treat them like they're my babies, in short. So the how do you sleep at night question maybe leans a bit to that, but do you take the grounds here a bit personal, or even, should I say it, a little bit too personal? Is that a fair question to put to you?
Yeah, that's a fair question. At times it can be that. It is my baby, do you know? Exactly. I know exactly where you're coming from. And what happens is certain projects, let's say, become my baby at that certain time. The poison garden, definitely. I'd be sat at night researching poison plants, drawing plans, looking at ideas. And for that period of time and that development, that was the baby. The Pineetum was the next development. And again, the focus changes. So for a little while, you become a specialist on a certain area because it becomes the focus and at times an obsession. But you have to learn also to let go and move on in this particular scenario because there is such a large estate, 60 acres, different garden areas and different time frames for projects. In addition to that, you've all the maintenance and the seasonal work. So you have to kind of take it all with a pinch of salt and learn to let go at times. And it is hard, but what I also have to remember is that there is a private owner to this estate, and at the end of the day, it's his garden and his partner's garden, and they have the last say in what goes on. So as long as I always understand that it isn't actually my garden, that's the important piece to hold on to.
I hear you in the sense that it's not your garden, but then I also kind of hear myself in my own head kind of going, yeah, maybe not my garden, but it's still my flipping baby, and, you know, and there's an element of that about it. But anybody who makes gardens and takes pride in it, if you're listening to this at home, you'll understand exactly where I'm coming from. And I don't care if you live in an apartment balcony and you just made your own first window box. you'll get a gist of it if you do it from scratch. And so I'm on the same wavelength as Adam. We're going to have a little bit more coming up next week on the show. We'll be back here again with Adam and Paul. We'll be going a little bit more in depth on the Gardens. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. If you want to get in touch, at Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSodShow. Blarney Castle and Gardens are available online. The website again, Paul?
www.blarneycastle.ie.
Are you on the Twitter and the Facebook, you think?
Yeah, all the links are on the website, on the homepage as well.
Excellent stuff. If you're driving and you're stuck for that again, just hit us up, sideshow.com. We'll try and get a good batch of photographs up there as well. And one of myself and the two better looking gentlemen to my left and to my right. In the meantime, Brian, back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Peter, and thanks to Adam and Paul at Blarney Castle. We'll be back with them next Friday here on The Sod Show. 103.2, you're listening to Dublin City FM. If you have any items for The Sod Show, we'd love to hear from you. Do get in touch at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, or info@sodshow.com is the way to email us. Maybe you grow something, maybe you've got some land you're doing something unusual with, if you're in the Dublin area or not, because we travel and we're international here with the podcast on The Sod Show. But if you are in Dublin, where we broadcast on Dublin City FM, do get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. It's time to wrap up and say goodbye. So we thank Katrina Redmond. She looks after our blogs at sodshow.com/news. We'd like to thank Peter Donegan, who produces and is our main microphone holder and interviewer. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, greensex.ie, compostable bags for home and garden at greensex.ie on the internet. You can check them out in your favourite supermarket, where you can drop Greensex into your trolley. They're really good for your brown bin if you have a brown bin collection. Our thanks to everybody back at base at Dublin City FM who do Trojan work throughout the year, unthanked. So thanks to them. And we're back next Friday at 3 p.m. Do join us then. We'll play out with more Fiddler's Green. Good afternoon.